Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Amen. All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus today. We ask that you speak to us and that you bless us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much. You may be seated. All right. I've been preached here on a Sunday for a whole month. Is that not so? You miss me? You sure? How much? How big? All right, I miss you too. Bebre. And I'm a femo. And this morning is Communion Sunday. And I want to share a simple message with us all. I believe that we are going to be blessed. Amen. Right. You know, if you run through the letters of the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, you'll find out that he does everything that he can to help the church believe, to understand who they are in Christ, what they have in him, and where they are in the Lord. Amen. So if you take, for example, Ephesians chapter 1, he prays a prayer from verse 17 where he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our glorious God, will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you may know the hope of your calling and the exceeding riches of the glory of his inheritance, the saints. If you go to Colossians chapter 1, reading from verse 9, he says there, ever since I heard about you, I do not cease to pray for you, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all fruitfulness. There are many more of such scriptures in the Word of God. And what he tries to do in all these scriptures is to get the believer, the child of God, the person who has received Jesus as Lord and Savior, to understand who he is, what he has, and where God has placed him in his kingdom. And as your pastor, by the grace of God, occupying this position under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do all that I can, and I try very hard to get you also to understand what your heritage is in Christ Jesus. And this is very important, because if you don't understand these things and appreciate them, you can live out your entire Christian life without ever becoming what God wants you to become, without ever achieving what God wants you to achieve, without ever getting to the place where God wants you to get to. Can I have an amen from somebody? And so every time you come to church like this, it's my prayer that you will open your heart up to receive the word of God that is coming forth. Because that word contains the power to change your destiny and to change the story of your life. And this morning, I believe that the sermon that I have for you is going to really help you to appreciate things a lot better than perhaps you have in the past. I'm going to share with you a message. Title of it is The Blood That Speaks Better Things. The Blood That Speaks Better Things. Today is Communion Sunday, and I felt the Spirit of God impressing on my heart to talk to my people about the blood that speaks better things. Tell your neighbor, there is blood that speaks better things. Turn to another person and say the same thing. There is blood that speaks better things. Now, ask the person who gave you that information, that what blood is that? And what is the answer? What's the answer again? I can't hear you. Shout it out. Clap your hands for the blood of Jesus. Indeed, it speaks better things. Now, turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 4. And we want to read from verse number 1, New King James Version, please. Genesis chapter 4, reading from verse number 1. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. Now, when it says Adam knew Eve, his wife, it means that he had sexual relations with her, and she got pregnant, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, that means she gave birth the second time, and this time his brother Abel was the one who came forth. So the first two human beings to be born into this world were who? Cain and Abel, not Adam and Eve, because Adam and Eve were not born. And certainly it was not David and Goliath, right? Because they came much later in the equation. So if you want to know who the first people to be born into this world were, it was certainly Cain and Abel. It continues. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. That means that Abel was a shepherd and Cain was a farmer. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. All right? The Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Why? Why? Why do you think he did not respect Cain's offering? Say that again. It was not from his heart. It wasn't the best. You want to say something, my son? Say that again. He didn't give a good offering. Tell them for me, okay? All right. Now, the answer to this question that I asked you can be found in Hebrews 11 verse 4. Let's look at what it says there. It says, by faith. Everybody say, by faith. Say it again, by faith. So it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. So the reason why Abel's offering was accepted and was described as better was because he gave it by faith. Amen. Look at the same verse from the Message Bible. The Message. It says, by an act of faith, by an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. Then notice what it says after that. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. What he believed, not what he brought, that is what made the difference. So it means that the attitude by which we do things, by which we present things to God, is very, very crucial. And I want to say to all of us that anything that you're doing for the Lord and anything that you are presenting to the Lord, make sure that it is coming out of faith. Do it out of faith. If you're coming to church, come to church in faith, believing and trusting that you're going to meet God and he's going to do something in your life. Can I have an amen from somebody? Don't just come. Come in faith with an expectation. Come with the understanding that you are coming to meet God. Come with the mind that the word of God that is going to come forth is going to choose something that will make your life better. Hallelujah. Whenever you come and you have something to present to God, present it in faith. Don't just throw things out at God. Give with an attitude of faith, because that is what will cause it to be acceptable unto God. And never forget what the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. So let's pick a cue from what happened in this case of Cain and Abel. How that Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God and was described as a better sacrifice. And the clear reason that is given in the word of God is that he gave it out of faith. Can I have an amen from somebody? All right, we continue. What verse did we get to? We're going back to Genesis chapter 4. And the Bible says, verse 5, and Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. See, you know, if in this life you find out that somebody is doing better than you're doing, that somebody is more blessed than you are, that somebody has been lifted or promoted, or a good thing has come the way of that person, one of the things that you have to try not to do is to be angry and be bored and be envious and begin to say all kinds of negative things. So somebody has a new iPhone. Which iPhone would you like to have? 17 Pro Max. 17 Pro Max, okay. So the person has 17 Pro Max. You are still using Nokia 3310. Do you know Nokia 3310? Ah, yeah. In our time, if you have Nokia 3310, Ogbami Femo Femo. So you can see that the person has something that you don't have. Or maybe you're in church and you hear the announcement that Sister Ajua Nkrumah is getting married in 2 weeks' time. Your response must not be a memaba. Omweni so adefe eniho. And then she said, I sorry men na when you be as adroa. The way he will stress, she will stress the adroa, adroa, adroa enkruma. Oh, ememe yoma be dia omwa sekra. What's your problem? If you don't get to the place where you are happy about somebody's blessing, somebody's promotion, somebody's elevation, you will never get to a place where God will give you something of your own. Can I have an amen from somebody? So tell the person sitting back, you tell the person, excuse me, envy me because of what I have. Rejoice with me. One day, Debbie, your time will come and I will rejoice with you. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a mighty hand clap. Now something very tragic happened. The Bible says, now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him out of their anger and anwoya. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Now he's rude to God. He says, am I my brother's keeper? And he, that is God, said, what have you done? This is the second time that God is asking this question, not long after the creation of man. The first time was when he came and confronted Eve after they had eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when God accosted Eve, he said to her, what is this that thou hast done? And here, God is asking the question, what have you done? And in each instant, when God asked this question, he could see something terrible that was going to happen because of a certain action that had been taken. And now, watch what God said to him after this. He said, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Take note of it again. The voice of your brother's blood. That means that blood has a voice. The voice of your brother's blood cries out. It is speaking. It is crying out. The blood that you just spilled, the blood of your blood brother that you shed, that blood is crying out, is speaking out to me from the ground. So now, it starts with the phrase, so now, which means that what is about to follow is connected to what was said before. Because a few moments ago, he said, the voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me. Then he follows that up with the statement, so now. So it means that what he's about to talk about is connected to the voice that is crying out. How many can understand what I'm saying to you this morning? So now he says, so now, you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. In other words, there are certain terrible things that are going to happen to Cain. And those things are going to happen Because his brother's blood is crying out those things. So you can see different things here. He says you are cursed from the earth that has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you, a fugitive and a vagrant. In other words, all these bad things are going to happen to you because the blood that you spilled is calling out and is crying out for all of these things. Look at another scripture with me, please. Hebrews chapter 12, reading from verse 18. Hebrews 12, reading from verse 18. Now here, the scripture is talking about two different dispensations of God's people. There is the dispensation under the old covenant. This describes the people of Israel who were God's people in the flesh, the descendants, the direct descendants of Abraham. So they are under the old covenant. That is one dispensation. Then there is a second dispensation which refers to Israel in the spirit. That is you and I. We are the ones who are under the new covenant. And we are the ones who have been washed and bought by the blood of Jesus. It says for you. So the you here is referring to you and I. If you are saved, if you are washed by the blood of Jesus, and if you have a covenant relationship with God, you are the one being referred to here. Amen. It says, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burned with fire, and to blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. Now pause. So what the writer of Hebrews is referring to here is that experience that the people of Israel had on Mount Sinai when Moses went up there to receive the commandments and the instructions from the Lord. The people were asked to stay at the foot of the mountain, but were given instructions not to touch it. Because if anybody touches it or any animal touches it, that person or that animal will die. And the Bible says that that experience was an experience of fire. It was an experience of blackness and darkness and tempest. In other words, it was a frightening experience. And Moses himself testified of the same. When he said, I was frightened, I was terrified when I was going through that experience. So they had, if you like, a physical encounter or manifestation of God. Now, I know that there are some of us who've been doing too known that I want to see God. I want to see an angel. I want to feel God. I want to have a certain kind of experience and everything. Look, the truth of the matter is the way you are. If you have that experience, you will even frighten the angel. Because you are a scary cat. You can't handle a lot of things. The other day I was laughing at my wife. She went to lie in my study on the bed. And then when she was there, she felt movement on her body. Then when she went, it was a wall gecko. So the wall gecko embraced her and kissed her. And she said the speed with which she jumped out of that bed. I don't think she'll go and lie on that bed. Will you go and lie on it again? Never. So I have my study to myself. Clap your hands for the Lord. Perhaps I sent wall gecko to keep you away from my secret place. Now, what the people experienced was a very scary thing.
And this thing that sometimes you hear people, I want to see an angel, I want to do that. Please be content with what you have. And just serve God following in faith. It says the just shall live by faith. It says, though we've not seen him, yet we believe in him and we love him. It's okay, because you may not be able to handle it. It can be a very frightening thing, as described here. But take note of what he said after. The next thing that he says, and I'm taking you somewhere, so don't lose me. It says, you have come to Mount Zion. Who has come to Mount Zion? Who? We have. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, what he's saying here applies to you. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Who is the firstborn? Jesus. Who are registered in heaven. That means that your name is in a register in heaven. Hallelujah. If your name is not in any good book here on earth, may I announce to you today that you can rejoice, because your name is in the register in heaven. Hallelujah. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. And then now take note of what he says after this. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. A mediator is a go-between. We like to say a go-betweener, but the word is actually a go-between. A mediator is a reconciler. He is an intercessor. Is somebody who intervenes for others, who intervenes between two people in order to make or restore peace. So he says, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Underline that in your Bible. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. I'll say it again. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Ladies and gentlemen, and now hear me and hear me well. I will have you understand that blood, it is a very powerful thing. And it speaks. Blood is a very powerful thing. And it speaks. That is why the Bible says in Leviticus 17:11 that the blood, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. That means the power that makes the flesh what it is in the blood. Which is why when you are alive, what happens is that the blood circulates or flows through every part of your body. That is a sign and an indication that you are alive. Now, when the blood stops flowing, what it means is that it's over. And the pump that circulates the blood through your system is the heart. The day the heart stops beating is the day you die. That is why one of the thank you messages you should give every morning must be to who? Your heart. Okay, to God. And then to your heart. Have you ever said thank you to your heart before? Thank you to your heart, right?
Put your hand on your heart and say, thank you. Say it well. Say, thank you. Yeah. Because from the moment you were born, it has been beating. If you ever put your hand there and you don't feel it, no trunk as you meaning. Ada kogbo alo gbokemba. Yeah. So what gives you life, or how you know you are alive, is the blood that is circulating in your system. If any part of your body stops receiving its flow of blood, what happens to that part of the body? It dies. That is why sometimes people's limbs are amputated, and the doctors do so when they realize that the blood flow there is impeded and they can't do anything about it. And in order to save you from dying, they will rather cut that limb off so that your life can be preserved. Hallelujah. So all of that is an indication that there is power in the blood. Everybody say with me, there is power in the blood. And not, it is not just that there is power in the blood, but the blood speaks. Say with me, blood speaks. Moja kasa. Hallelujah. That is why after Cain had murdered Abel, God appeared on the scene and said to Cain, the blood of your brother, or the voice of the blood of your brother, is crying out. It is speaking. It is calling out to me. Ladies and gentlemen, blood speaks. And in this country, the blood of people who have lost their lives, who shouldn't have died, is speaking. People who have died on our roads, who wouldn't have died if the money that was released to construct the roads was used to do that, they wouldn't have lost their lives. And their blood is speaking. Hospitals that should have been built so that lives could be saved, which were not built, as a result of that, people lost their lives. They shouldn't have died. Look, in this country, people die from things that they shouldn't die of. They wouldn't have died of if they were in another jurisdiction. And all such blood is speaking. And now that terrible thing that is happening in our country to do the illegal mining and the galamse, people have lost their babies. And you may be telling yourself that, oh, I live here at Bechele Bumper. Nobody is doing galamse around me, so I am safe. You are not. Because now, even the food, the cassava, the yam, the plantain, the cocoyam, the vegetables, the fruits that we have on markets, most of them come from the bread baskets of our country. And these are the same places where that terrible genocide, I call it, is taking place. Nobody is safe. And there are people who have lost their lives because of that. Their blood is speaking. May I submit to you that perhaps one of the reasons for the struggle of our country is that people's blood is speaking. Because the story of now doesn't make sense. Yeah, take a course. Yes, it ain't. Famous words from one of our former presidents. It doesn't make sense, does it? That you have been blessed and endowed with so much resources, but it is not improving the lives of the citizens. Something is wrong. And I'm saying to you that people's blood, I believe, blood spilled over the years, has been speaking. Which is why one of the things that we must do often is to pray for our country. Pray for mercy and pray for forgiveness for all the evil that has taken place in the land and the lives that have been lost. Because the blood of all those people has been crying out. Abel's blood cried out to God. It cried out to God for punishment. Punish him. Punish my brother. That is what the blood was crying out. It cried out to God for justice. I want to have justice. I must have justice. It cried out to God for a curse. Let a curse come upon him because of this thing that he has done to me. Curse him. It cried out to God for harassment. Let his life be harassed. Remember that it says that from this day, God told Cain that from this day, you will struggle to produce something out of the earth. You become a vagabond. They'll be chasing you all over the place. That speaks about harassment. You are working hard, but you don't get the results that you desire. That speaks of frustration. And the blood of Abel, after it was spilled, cried out to God, punish him. I want justice. Let him be cursed. Let him be harassed. Let him be frustrated. Let nothing work well for him. Ladies and gentlemen, the blood of Abel is symbolic of the old covenant and its demands. It also represents sin and guilt and the consequences of these things. That's what the blood of Abel represents. And all of humanity, as a result of sin and the consequences it comes with, constantly has a judgment of guilty, 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 always pronounced on us, all of humanity. If you pass here small, no, the cry is guilty. It is like a football match with a referee who is always blowing the whistle. Referees who are like that, they spoil the match. Because in football, there's a certain amount of huta. Do you know huta? Huta is uchobi amanabofu. There's a certain amount of it that must be allowed. Otherwise, you are spoiling the game. But if it's like at every slight infringement, the match will not go on. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been the story of our lives. That there are things that are speaking against us, represented by the blood of Abel, crying for punishment, crying for rejection, crying for curse to be released upon us, crying that we are guilty, we are guilty, we ought to be destroyed, we ought to be punished, we ought to be rejected, we ought to be cast away. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the blood of Abel. That is what that blood keeps crying out. And nobody can do well under such a sentence of guilt all the time. You can't end anywhere. You can't go anywhere. And that is how horrible the situation has been for man until something happened. more than 2,000 years ago, God sent his only begotten son to come and sort out this problem of humanity and for all. And the way he was going to do it was to take our place and give his life for our life. The plan of God was that he will shed his precious blood, and that blood will atone for our sins, our guilt, our rejection, and everything bad that is supposed to come to us. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that there is another blood that speaks. That blood is more powerful than the blood of Abel. That blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. That blood, which is the blood of the only begotten Son of God, ever since that blood was spilled, has been speaking on your behalf. You see, you are yet to understand it, and you are yet to grasp it. But I tell you this, the day you understand that there is blood that is speaking on your behalf, it will change everything. It will change your understanding of who you are in Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, the blood of Jesus, ever since it was shed, has been speaking on your behalf. It is speaking and crying out to the Father on your behalf. Forgive him. Have mercy on him. I have redeemed him. I have reconciled him to you. He deserves to be blessed. He deserves to be healed. Heal him, Lord. Have mercy on him. Protect him. Preserve him. Let him have a satisfied life. Let him have a fulfilled life. Let him have hope. Let him have encouragement. That has to do with the shout and the cry of the blood of Jesus. And for more than 2,000 years, that blood has been speaking better things on your behalf. I am sharing this message with you to make a very important point. And I close. I know that there's a lot of evil in this world. I also know that the devil is real and demons are real. I know. I know that there are shrines. I know that there are a lot of terrible things that happen in this life. I know. I know that cats are real. I know that generational curses are real. I know. And you will be a fool if you ignore the reality of all of these things. Because if you ignore them, you do so to your own peril. But here is the thing. I also know that there is a higher and a superior power that has my back. That one too, I know. I know that there is an innumerable company of angels that do warfare constantly on my behalf, on behalf of my family, on behalf of my loved ones. That one too, I also know. I know that in the courtroom of heaven, there is a voice that is always crying out in my favor, crying mercy crying forgiveness, crying peace, crying don't reject him, crying don't write him off, crying bless him, crying let it be well with him. There is a voice that 24/7 in the courtroom of heaven is up mentioning you by name, by name, by name, and fighting on your behalf. I know that also. And so I cannot and I will not ignore the reality of the prevalent evil that is around us. But I have made a personal choice that I choose to dwell and focus on the power of God and the forces of heaven that are backing me all the time. I choose to dwell on them and focus on them rather than to focus on the powers of darkness and what they are doing my family, what they can do to my children, what they can do to my business, what they can do to my health. I choose to focus on the God who is able to preserve me than on the devil who is able to destroy me. It's my personal choice. And I'll explain it to you as I close. So you are in a room and a storm is brewing. The winds are very strong. The rain is coming down heavily. And it's a very thick storm. And you are in a room. But the windows are open. And the doors are open. What do you think of somebody who stays in that room and screams, "Hey, ensione abo, ensione odinyo, ensione to, the wind is strong, the storm is great," and he's just there as the rain is coming in, as the winds are turning everything upside down, he's just there and shouting. What do you think of such a person? Now, what is he supposed to do? Say that again. Close the windows. Close the windows. And close the doors. Now, does it stop the rain from falling? It's still falling. The winds are still blowing. But you are safe and secure inside, because you've shut the doors and you've closed the windows. Jesus is that door. And Jesus is that window to your safety, your security, and your well-being. Can I ask you today to stop screaming about the things that are fighting you? Can you stop it? Can you stop always testifying about what the devil is doing against you and in your life? And this time turn your attention to what Christ has done for you and is still doing for you. Can you turn your attention from there? It's your choice. It's your choice. And I want to say to you again, please don't get me wrong. The devil, he's there. Forces of darkness, they are there all the time, doing everything that they can to bring you down and to destroy you. But always remember these words that I share with you anytime I speak the prediction over your life. I always tell you to remember that if God be for you, no one who rises up against you will prevail. Not just that alone, I also tell you that greater is in you than he that is in the world. One of the main reasons why the devil and his agents are having a field day in our lives is because we don't understand what we have, what is backing us, the voices speaking on our behalf. We don't understand whose we are and whom we serve. We do not understand it. And we just seem to swallow everything that we hear that honors the power of the devil and that talks constantly about what he's doing in your home, in your family, with your children, with your business, and all of that. So guess what? We have become experts at everything bad that the devil is doing against us, instead of becoming masters of everything good that is working in our favor. Today, let there be a paradigm shift. I said, today, let there be a paradigm shift in your life. What I'm saying with you today, if you don't get it, you will always live the life of a loser. Somebody always running over the place, looking for answers and solutions to your problems. When all that you are supposed to do, it's as simple as shutting the door and closing the windows when the rain is coming and the storm is brewing. What does it take? I am not asking you to stand and stretch forth your hand like Superman to stop the rains. You can't do that. But you can decide to close the windows. You can decide to shut the doors. Simple though it may sound, that is all you need to do to guarantee your protection. The storm is still raging. The winds are still blowing. The rains are still falling heavily. But you are safe and secure in the arms of your Savior, whose blood is always speaking better things in your favor. These things God has made available to us, and it's my duty to tell you about it without any fanfare, without any gimmicks, without any strategies, to tell you. And like he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There are two groups of people to be greatly pitied in this life. Group one are those who don't know what they have. And group two is those who know what they have, but what they have is not making much of a difference in their lives. And most of today's Christians are like that. You don't know what you have. You don't know what has been done for you. All over the place. Have you not realized that your problems are not going away? Can't you see? Because what is being prescribed is not the solution. Look at the number of places you have gone to. Look at the number of hands that have been laid on you. Show me from your quality of life that things have been made different for you. Show me the business that is working well. Show me. Ewehi. Sikana yesisi yetutu ufie emunsama ubenyan. Sikano. Ewehi. Show me. Show me.
But if you can just believe, that's why salvation is about believing. How did you get saved? How did you get saved? What did you do to be saved? You went to kill an elephant. You went to bring the claw of an eagle. Where did you find the eagle? You believed by faith. You have believed for the greatest miracle in your life, which is your salvation. So what is it about you that makes it difficult for you that after saving you, his desire and what he has already done is to bless you with every good thing that you need to have a certain kind of life? Why difficult to believe it? Why? I pray that God will help us to come out of that ignorance, because it is killing us slowly. That's what is happening to us. You know the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, and I close. You see, everybody talks a lot about the second boy. So the story is even named after him, the prodigal son. But I want to show you something as I close. Apart from the younger son, there was also the elder son. Do you recall in that story that when the prodigal boy came back home and the father killed the fatted calf, gave him a new robe to wear, the ring for him to wear, the elder brother heard about it and was angry. Now, when he came, in fact, he didn't want to come in, so the father had to go to him, tell him that, come. Now, this is what he said to his father. He said, all these years, I have been working for you, serving you faithfully. You have not given me one goat or sheep for I and my friends to enjoy. But when this thy son, he didn't say my brother, when this your son who has gone to waste your everything, when he came, you have organized the party for him. Now, this is the response that the father gave to him. And that's what I want you to think about. The father said to him, my son, everything that I have is yours. Which means that you could have gone catch one of the goats and grilled it and eaten it, because it is for you. If you are not doing that, now who calls him? Because if something is for you, who has the right to use it in any way that you please? You do. So it's like you are waiting for me, your father, who has bequeathed everything to you to enjoy. You are waiting for me to come and catch the animal, kill it, dress it, grill it for you to eat. On the ebakana kopem ateetu. If it is not happening, it is because you are not taking what is yours. That's the story of most of us. That's why certain things are not happening in our lives. That's why it's not happening. And I pray that God will help us. That he will help us. Look, as you sit here, you know that I love you. That I want the very best for all of you. And it's my
earnest desire that you become everything God wants you to become. And that is why I teach what I teach. That is why I preach what I preach. That is why I focus and specialize on the word, on the word, on the word, because everything that you need is in there. Stop looking for the spectacular, because the spectacular is in the word. There is a place and there is a season for all the other things that are done, and I believe in them. But my assignment, my duty, is as your pastor, as your shepherd, as your teacher, to show you everything that is yours in Christ Jesus, so that you can appropriate it and take it for yourself. And today, as you go, may I remind you again that there is blood that is speaking on your behalf, and that blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Rise to your feet. We are done. Yesu ni mojano amame nyankwa ni pira kronimuna menyama yaresa ni moja ni muna wahurumi boni Yesu we mame nyankwa mede me mamu Yesu mo. Father, we thank you today, and thank you for your word. What you laid on my heart is what I have presented to your people. I have done my best and done what I can to make the scales fall off their eyes through the power of the Holy Ghost and get them to understand who they are in you, what they have in you, where you have positioned us in Christ Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit take the words that I've spoken to them and inject his life into those words, that they will continue to ring in the hearts and in the minds of your people, strengthening and empowering them to take their place in Christ Jesus, assured of the fact that the blood of Jesus that was shed more than 2,000 years ago is speaking better things in their favor. I give you thanks and praise this morning, this afternoon, in the mighty name of Jesus. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, maybe somebody invited you to church today. The truth is that you don't really know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're not born again. I mean, that's the truth. You've never arrived at a place in your life where you invited Jesus to your heart and received him as Lord and Savior and surrendered your life to him. But I want to pray with you today, because the hand of the Lord is extended to you wherever you stand this morning, this afternoon, to draw you to himself and to make your life brand new. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but you want to surrender your heart to him, you want his blood to speak better things in your favor, wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand? And I'm going to pray with you wherever you are. God bless you. I see your hands. God bless you. God bless you. Perhaps you are watching us online right now. But right where you are, even though I cannot see you, the eyes of the Lord are upon you right there. And if you lift your hand in your room, he can see you and he's able to touch you right where you are. Lift up your hand. That conviction, that feeling that you have inside of you, it is the Lord speaking to you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hands. Now, if your hand is lifted, I want you to do one more thing for me. I don't want you to be shy. I don't want you to change your mind. But I want you to move from where you are and come to me right in front here so that I can be certain in my heart about this step that you are taking. So we peja wonsa to sa na monna bra enim hasisia na me no bompae. Come to me. Come to me. Clap for them, encourage them as they come. Bra. Bra. Man came on us. Man came sign bra. Come. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come. Between you and your God, just come to him right now. Come to that mercy seat. Come to him. Come to him. God bless you. I want to pray a simple prayer with you. I'll say the words and I want you to repeat them after me. But I beg you, mean everything that you're saying. Speak to the Lord directly. He's ready to hear you and to change your life. So that nothing would distract you. Close your eyes. Don't look anywhere. Just fix your mind on the Lord. I'm going to lead you to pray first in English and then in Greek. Say with me and everybody joining. Say, dear Lord Jesus, this morning I come to you just as I am. Oh God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Thank you for his blood. Thank you that blood, it speaks better things in my favor. Today, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. For the rest of my life, I will serve him. I will follow him. I will live for him. He will be my God. I will be his servant. Oh God, please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. Today, I am saved. I am saved. I am a child of God. I am born again. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Kase erade anope mabawenim. Minim se mi yodi bonyeni. Erade fa me boni nyina acheme. Na fa Yesu moja kronkrono. Fa wo hru me boni nyina. Na yemi abodie foforo. Every and ne echo, mesomo, metna amao, mediwechi, eradie, tromidin, ewo enkwahumanomo, medawase, se wetie mimpaibo, ewo Jesu Christo demo. Let everybody shout aloud, amen. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo.
We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.